Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi jana valabha girivara dhari Gopi jana valabha girivara dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishore, Jaya Kishor Kishore, Jaya Kishor Kishore, Jaya Kishor Kishore. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraga Chari Ashtatara Ashtatara. This divine guest A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Hum Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraga Chari Ashtatara 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 Ashtatara. This divine guest Bhaktivedanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Jaya. Anadha Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj Ki. Jaya. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Vrindavani Pracharan Vishayashana Vrindavani Chakal Patara Vyasya Api Pasita Vrindavani Padinam Padina Vrishnavi Vrindavani Maha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today is reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, entitled Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Verse 1. So we'll chant. Sri Sukha Uvacha Sadhu Prishta Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavato Tama Yanutanaya Sisasya Shrinvanapi Katham Huhu Sri Sukha Uvacha Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavato Tama Yanutanaya Sisasya Shrinvanapi Katham Huhu. One more time. Sri Shuka Uvacha Sadhu Prishta Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavato Tama Yanutanaya Sisasya Shrinvanapi Katham Huhu. Shukha Uvacha Sadhu Prishta Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavato Tama Yanutanaya Sisasya Shrinvanapi Katamu Shukha Uvacha Sadhu Prishta Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavato Tama Yanutanaya Sisasya Shrinvanapi Katamuhu Sri Shuka Uvacha Sadhu Prishta Mahabhaga Aya Bhagavato Tama Yanutanaya Sisasya Srinivanapi Katamu. Thank you for chanting. We'll go to a word by word translation. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Sadhu Prishtam, I have been very much honored by your inquiry. Mahabhaga, you are a greatly fortunate personality. Tvaya, by you, Bhagavata Uttama. O best of devotees, yat, because Nutanayasi, you are making newer and newer. Isasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrinvanapi, although you are continuously hearing. Katam, the pastimes, muhuhu, again and again. Translation, Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely, For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam nava navaya manam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjaya Churita Bhakti Vilochanana Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. The word Santa is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yam Shemasundaram Achintya Guna Shvarupam Govidam Adipusham Taraham Bhajami. Brahma Samhita 538. Parikshit Maharaj therefore is addressed as Bhagavatatama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Thank you very much for coming today. I'm very happy to be here with you this morning. We're starting a new chapter. Brahma is stealing the boys and calves. It was a big trick Krishna played on Brahma, and that the chapter will describe that. I was thinking about what we could talk about as far as Srila Prabhupada's purport. He basically says that, in particular, Srila Prabhupada mentions that unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, he cannot be continuously relishing and enjoying the pastimes, hearing about Krishna. So in the beginning stages, we may be chanting up a couple of hours and reading Srimad Bhagavatam for, 20-30 minutes. And usually that is our limit for practicing devotees. They have some limitations. Unless one is fully engaged in living at the temple, it may be different. For most devotees who live outside the temple, the situation is a little bit different. The time limitation is there because of different duties. We have a day set up where we have certain time for chanting in the morning, and then maybe do some reading throughout the day or later in the evening. Like I mentioned last week, hearing about Krishna and chanting is both the means to success and the goal in itself. So the difference, I believe, in chanting by sadaka devotees, practicing devotees, and advanced, purified, completely purified devotees, is that it's a matter of consciousness. Here you're hearing and chanting and getting purified, and in the more advanced stages you are relishing more the holy name, form, paraphernalia of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita, there are nice verses in Bhagavad Gita that came to my mind, in particular verse 14 from chapter 9, a very nice verse. Many devotees use this verse in preaching. Very popular verse, Satata kirtayantamam yatantascha dritta vradaha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nicha yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Very nice verse describing continuous engagement of pure devotees who are always enthusiastic about chanting and hearing about Krishna without stopping. And also another verse that comes to mind in Bhagavad Gita that gives a similar mood is chapter 10, verse 9. I'll read the Sanskrit. Machita madgata pran bodhayantak parashparam kathayanash chamam nicham tusyanti charamanticha. So the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Very nice verses from Bhagavad Gita that kind of give you, at least me, the similar mood that this verse and Prabhupada's purports talks about. Also, I was recently reading a different canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in particular canto 7, chapter 5, it describes the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj mentions in verses chapter 5, verses 23-24, a very famous verse about the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuho Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. And there is a quite extensive purport in there by Srila Prabhupada to those two verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'd like to take some of those points too and incorporate it into today's class. I'd like to focus on just the first process of devotional service, which is hearing the holy name, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what we're doing today, every morning. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the importance of hearing is emphasized in all of the Bhakti scriptures, and not only Bhakti scriptures, but hearing is so important. You may know from experience, I'm talking from my experience when I was, before I became Krishna conscious, before I came in contact with the movement, how the power of sound, how powerful it is. It says in Vedic scriptures in general that the sound can either elevate you or downgrade you, and sound is the first element from which everything comes. Lord Brahma heard the sound, the mantra, and then he was from Krishna, and then he was able to create. He knew what to do. So I remember myself, like before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, I kind of appreciated the power of sounds. You know, I was always into different kinds of music, not very spiritual. The music, the sounds would give me a special type of energy for what I needed to do, you know, with at work, at school. And I appreciated the music, the sound, not necessarily the lyrics, but the sound vibration, how, what kind of energy is sent to me, and I can use it for my activities. So hearing is so important. It can give you a type of energy, send a type of energy that your consciousness will absorb like a sponge. And we are very fortunate to be able to hear the right types of sound vibrations here at the temple and the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to that verse, once again, it's Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, verses 22-24. Srila Prabhupada mentions that hearing, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service, although all of the nine processes you know, hearing chanting and serving the Lord, becoming Lord's friend, and you know all the nine passes. There are each one of them in and of itself is sufficient to give us pure, complete realization of Krishna consciousness. However, in chronological order, hearing should come as number one. Because most people actually, especially in Kali Yuga, are very much absorbed in different types of sound vibrations, and they're very much entangled in those energies created by those sounds. So if they hear the right type of energy through sound, if they hear devotees chanting, even though they might not be ready to accept philosophy or be interested in our movement, they are subconsciously getting that vibration that penetrates into their consciousness, and in the course of time they will be able to open themselves up more to a spiritual life and more association with devotees. So hearing is so important. I remember once again, before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, I was engaged in all these different activities related to school and work and family obligations, and even though I was doing all these things, I was very anxious and nervous and stressed. I was very fortunate to come in contact with devotees and my future Guru Maharaj, and start chanting, stop eating meat, and start chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And I didn't know the philosophy, it just appealed to me, some general appeal, and then the mantra sounded good, so I started chanting. What I noticed is that even though I was performing the activities of my usual activities, I didn't stop them. I was going to school and going to work, staying with my family, and my stress was relieved, greatly relieved, and my mind was more clear to do my activities even better in the material realm. And it's one of the effects of hearing and chanting is you get some relief from material distresses. So I really appreciate that at that level of my consciousness. I really appreciate it. Yes, I am not so much stressed. I can do my studying better for school, and I can do a better job at work. So that hearing of the mantra was very helpful. And I remember just at that point when I was, just before I met the devotees, all these material activities that I was performing felt like, I like to give this example, they felt like very, very like pungent, very pungent food that you cannot, you eat it and then you have such a strong sensation that you cannot tolerate it, your tears are coming. You're crying, literally crying, because the food is so spicy. So that's how I felt just before I met the devotees with my material activities. When I was hearing the mantra, I had it on CDs at that time, and I did a little bit of chanting and just hearing. My Guru Maharaj mentioned, if you don't feel like chanting, at least hear from Srila Prabhupada. Hear the mantra, how he's chanting. So I was hearing, and as soon as I was hearing, it felt like I was eating, after spicy food, you just want to go for the halava. It's like, where's the halava? Where's the sweet juice? So it kind of felt like that, like, oh, I feel so great, it doesn't, feels like my material obligations and all these activities are far away. And I'm able to think clearly and have a good perspective, and then go back into my material activities and perform them better. So it felt like that, you know, a spoon of halava, sweet halava, that kind of alleviates my burning feeling in the mouth. Similarly, these days I have a little, sometimes maybe you can relate to this, when I wake up in the morning and the mind feels dull and you don't want to get up at 2 or 3 a.m., you wish you could sleep two more hours. I have this feeling many times that there's some kind of dullness and lethargy in my head, and I don't feel like getting up, but I still do it most of the time. I take my shower and start my chanting, but sometimes the hearing of the, when you start hearing the mantra, gradually or suddenly you can feel like you just ate a slice of lemon, very very sour, a very sour taste that brings your cognitive abilities back to normal. Your perception is clear. You can sometimes you eat a lemon and you feel like, oh, I'm awake. I think my son likes to, for some reason, little 3-year-old, he likes to bite on a lemon for some reason. I don't know why, but it's generally not pleasant, but this lemon, even though it may not feel pleasant, it wakes you up from the slumber and lethargy, and it's like you all of a sudden you're able to think clear, you know, clear thinking. Whereas if you eat something very sweet, you may go to sleep or feel too relaxed. So also another feeling that I get when I chant the Hare Krishna mantra is that it brings my cognitive abilities back to where they should be, so I can perceive better and have better perspective on what I have to do later in the day. So in this way, hearing the mantra and chanting the mantra, hearing the mantra is the beginning. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the purport, maybe not in the same purport, in different, that gradually you're able to start and follow the rules after you hear the devotees chant and you adapt the chanting, and then it's easier to follow the rules of not eating meat and intoxication, gambling and illicit sex. So in the course of time. The second item, the first being that chanting, the hearing is the beginning of the process of devotional service. Hearing is essential. It is said in the purport by Srila Prabhupada that actually without hearing properly, you cannot understand the other limbs of the bhakti yoga process. It's just as simple as that. You know, if you don't hear properly, there's no way. Like for someone who is, let's say, not Krishna conscious and just come into touch with the devotees, and he's not hearing from them, he's not chanting, there's no way to advance, to move forward. It starts with hearing from the devotees and then trying to adopt the chanting practice. Point three, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam concurrently with chanting is recommended. Very important point. My Guru Maharaj always emphasized to daily reading of the Shastra, you know. And I enjoyed reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in my years ago, and then later I got so busy I could not do much reading. I was lucky to actually make it to the temple once a week. But Srila Prabhupada recommends that hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting at the same time or concurrently. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions in that purport to verse 23 and 24 of chapter 5, canto 7, that chanting, a hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. You may be hearing different mantras or, you know, different things, but if you hear about the pastimes of the Lord, it'll put you in a special mood that will protect your chanting. Your chanting will be so much more focused. Sometimes when I chant in the morning, it's very hard to focus, or because I'm tired, or like I said, feel dullness in the mind, and my mind is just going somewhere. I have to bring it back. It's not very pleasant. I'm bringing it back. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The mind is going away again. Bring it back. But sometimes I try this, stop chanting for a few minutes and open Srimad Bhagavatam and read something, something about Krishna, some pastimes. 5 minutes, one page. It brings a special mood. The mind becomes has more proclivity, more tendency to engage in hearing a story, a narration. At least in my experience, than hearing a mantra sometimes. So I hear, I read Srimad Bhagavatam for, you know, 5 minutes, and then go back to chanting, and the chanting has a better mood. It's a little bit more elevated, not as distracted. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam concurrently with chanting is recommended. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that a devotee can chant and hear the holy name according to individual attraction. So that means that you can chant the name of Lord Ram, chant the name of Lord Narasimhadev. Some devotees have some particular attractions for different incarnations of Krishna. So that is also acceptable and great. And they may have a special liking for different incarnations of Lord Krishna. And we have nice incarnations there by the entrance to the temple, different incarnations of Krishna. And another point that I'd like to make is that Srila Prabhupada makes a very strong about it. He mentions in the extensive purport, he mentions 5 times. I was counting and trying to count. I was like, so many times I get lost, I can't count again. But I think he mentions it 5 times in the purport, that one should hear from the mouth of a pure devotee, and then that hearing will have an effect, so we can adopt the principles of Bhakti Yoga. If we hear from a pure devotee, not an artificial devotee or someone who's a pseudo devotee who wants to take some compensation for them chanting, who wants to get earn a livelihood by reading and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Not from that kind of devotee. Srila Prabhupada makes those points. So 5 times he does that. I'd like to reiterate this point. When I would chant in the beginning, and then sometimes when my mind is very tired, I play Srila Prabhupada's CD of his japa, and it if I focus on hearing Srila Prabhupada, how he chants, then the mood for my own chanting comes back, like, you know, and I'm more enthused again, and like to go back into, and I have better focus than before. So that's very helpful, to hear the chanting of a pure devotee and read Srimad Bhagavatam. It really strengthens our own, fortifies our own sadhana for chanting and the rest of the activities that each devotee performs. We all have different services here at the temple. Another point that's related to that is I had a good example of why it's so important to hear from a pure devotee. Even though you may have the ability, cognitive ability, to understand certain philosophical points or concepts, you may not have the necessary realization to apply it into your life. So I'll give you a little story about from years ago when I was going to school. I was studying Hinduism. I was studying. I was hearing from this professor, PhD, religions, hearing from him about Hinduism and the different gods, you know, demigods, you know, and then I think I mentioned that a couple months ago. So I could not understand. It was like very complex and vast, and there were some flow charts and all these charts, and which god comes from which god, and who is in charge of what, and it was very confusing to me. And he was trying his best, and you know, it could be that I was distracted, but I was really trying to, as far as I know, I was trying to focus and trying to remember everything and master it, because there was a test coming up, you know, in a few weeks. So I knew I had to learn all these things. But however, I had a very hard time. It was easier for me to understand other philosophical or religions, theologies. It was easier for me. Hinduism was like, oh my gosh, it's just too much. It's more complex than Greek mythology. I was like, oh. And so I was a little confused, and I was like kind of frustrated. But we had this fashion that devotees would, not devotees, but the different representatives of different faiths would come in, from, you know, Jehovah Witness and Buddhists, Christian Scientology, and when there was a day to have a representative of the Vedic religion, devotees came in from our Kishore temple. So when they were starting to explain the mantra and that Krishna is the supreme, and you were quoting the verses Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, and giving a synopsis of the Vedic scriptures, it was very easy for me to understand, and it was like, oh wow, it's so simple. And all the details fell into their places, the details of the, you know, where the demigods fit in and their respective duties. So I was not so confused. It was a different way to understand, and the devotees were really enthusiastic. They presented Bhagavad Gita and the Hare Krishna mantra, and my intelligence was cleared up, you know. And then I was able to adapt the process later on, after some deliberation and decision making. I decided to adapt the process, because I heard from those who follow the pure process of Srila Prabhupada, and they were giving this message without any change, as it is. Srila Prabhupada recommended not to change anything. So Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then that's how the devotees presented, and I was really excited about it. I think I mentioned all of the points that I wanted to mention. In conclusion, I'd like to say that we are very, very fortunate to be able to hear the holy names of Krishna and help Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan movement, to spread the Sankirtan movement to every nook and corner of the universe, of the earth. In this age, there's a nice verse, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we all know. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva, Eva Kevalam, Kalam Nasteva, 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 Gatira Anyata. In this age of Kali, the only means of deliverance, there is no better means of deliverance than chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're very fortunate to be able to hear and share with others this powerful, powerful process of hearing that makes everything possible. It can change the hearts of everyone. Thank you so much for your attention. I apologize for mistakes and a shorter lecture today, but hopefully you get some questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, I turned your mic down.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, no, no problem. Hare Krishna.
Can you hear yourself?
Yeah, I can hear myself. I think he has some presentation in high school.
Can you say something?
Hare Krishna.
Is your mic off?
I think it's off.
Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Oh, it's picking up.
Okay, see. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Oop, it's too loud. It's okay. Perfect.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. You always make some wonderful points, especially the point I appreciated about this. I'm always hearing and always chanting, and you narrated some of your stories regarding that. You also quoted a verse, Satyatam Kirtanyantamam, I believe. And one thing that came to mind is pretty much Krishna saying the same thing repeatedly over throughout the teachings, always chant. There's many verses like Satyatam Yuktanam Kirtaniya Sadahari Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. There's like so many where he's like, it's like, Krishna, you're repeating the same thing over and over again. Well, one thing that came to mind is that when you were mentioning this, one of my favorite analogies, it basically says, when criminals escape from prison, naturally they cause havoc for a lot of human society. And in the Netta of Devotion, it describes that we also have criminals within our heart called anarthas. And just as criminals who escape from prison cause havoc for all of human society, when our anarthas escape from us through our words and our actions, then it causes havoc for us and potentially for the people we love. And we see that's where the dissension. And one point that came to mind is that criminals are subdued by security guards. So like you were mentioning, we should read Bhagavatam. Why are we reading Bhagavatam? To subdue pride with humility, subdue envy with appreciation, or subdue attitude with gratitude.
Right.
And why are all the great saints chanting all the time? Well, we see that there's two types of prisons, minimum security and maximum security. As soon as we stop chanting the holy names, then the Nazis start coming out, you know, gossip, slander, criticizing. And so they're always chanting, Haridasa Koshugade Goswami, for maximum security. And so my last point regarding two things. There's been many things that's life-changing experiences in my Krishna consciousness. I'm sure I have many life-changing experiences of why I do my best to try to hear as much as possible and chant. And I'll just mention a couple of them, and maybe you could elaborate on some of these points.
Sure.
There's a lecture by one famous devotee named Amarendra Prabhu. He has many videos on the internet. He does a wonderful service by speaking Krishna Katha in short videos or even long lectures. But in one lecture, when he was in Australia, he mentions that the subject matter was about prayers of the Bhagavatam. And so Amarendra Prabhu made a wonderful point. He says, when you read the prayers of Queen Kunti, the prayers of Lord Brahma, the prayers of Indra, so many devotees, if you scrutinizingly analyze them, they're pretty much saying the exact same thing. So you may become ungrateful. Yes, Krishna's God, he's controlling most, the prayers are pretty much the same, so you become like bored. And also we hear that Prabhupada, you know, in his lectures repeats the same thing over again. And you may, like, you're not the body, Krishna's God, be humble, the root of the tree analogy all the time that comes up. And so you may become grateful. But one lecture that transformed my life was a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj called Gratitude, the Womb for Humility. And it's a very nice lecture, but I'll summarize in, you know, a couple of statements. The essence of this lecture states that it's not that the prayers of the Bhagavatam aren't new or refreshing. It's not that Prabhupada's words aren't new and refreshing. It's not that devotee association isn't new and refreshing. It's that our gratitude isn't new and refreshing. So that's one life-changing experience why I try to be more grateful, because we could be anywhere else. We could be in Syria getting bombed to death. Mm-hmm. If we keep things in perspective, being around devotees,
right.
There's nothing compared to in the material world.
Yes.
And one other life-changing experience is something Gokulananda Prabhu mentioned to me. Completely changed the way I looked at things. And it was a very profound thought. He wasn't criticizing anybody specific, but just the conditioned nature of the conditioned soul, which was my nature when he mentioned it. I was like, oh, that sounds exactly like me. So he made the point. He says, if you ask somebody, do you have any questions on the Bhagavatam? No, I'm good. Then if you ask somebody, do you have any questions on the latest gossip? Oh yes, who, what, where, when, why they do that, what are the details, what's their name?
Right.
And you know, that's what I did before. Any gossip came up, you know, I wouldn't be enthusiastic. And that completely changed the way I looked at things. Mm. However, so my question is exactly that, regarding this point, is that in the material world, materialists, they have no security guards on their mouth. But devotees, we have some security guards. We may be able to control our tongue. However, it may not be so obvious that we should control our thoughts, because thoughts wow. lead to words. There's a nice sure. quote that says, watch your thoughts, they become words.
Yes.
Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habit. Watch your habit, it becomes your character. Watch your character, and it becomes your destiny.
Wow, and, powerful.
One last quote I want on Bible. This is my question, actually, but since this topic is related, I'll just mention one of my favorite verses from the Bible. It's in the book of James, chapter 3. It says, there's a verse that says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Huh. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Wow. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My dear brothers and sisters, this should not be. This is precisely what the first lesson of the net of instruction is. Vacho vega manasa krodha vega. Mm-hmm. How to control your thoughts
right.
and your words. So my question is, how can we keep in mind that it's not that we should just control our tongue, but in the end control our mind? Because in the end, it doesn't matter if we're meditating negatively, eventually the apparat is going to come out. And then we don't know why, because we just think it's superficial, just control your tongue. No, you have to control your mind also. So how can we keep this in mind? And not have a superficial understanding of controlling the tongue.
It's a very, very good point, because I find sometimes myself that I may be chanting with my mouth, but somehow the mind, you know, it's somewhere else. You know, thinking about, you know, you name it, you know, my work, or thinking about what happened yesterday. Someone, you know, said something and I didn't like it, and anything. But the holy name, the mind could be anywhere. So the mechanical chanting, you know, inattentive chanting is, it's going to take you much longer. It's going to take us much longer to get purified and advanced if we're chanting with inattentively. However, it is also recommended that by chanting and trying to bring the mind back and bring the mind back, you will be freed from this offense of being inattentive. Now, obviously, you could be inattentive and thinking about something that's not so bad. It's within that, you know, goodness, you know, thinking about what you have to do. You have to go out there and, you know, maybe work in the garden, or you have to go out and play with your children. I mean, so that's not transcendental, but it's certainly not a bad thought in material terms. So you could be, you definitely don't wanna be thinking some hostile, something, some aggressive, send some aggressive energies and think about, you know. Sometimes, from my experience, like I mentioned a couple lectures ago, I would watch fights, mixed martial arts, and then at night, for some reason, for my entertainment, and then in the morning, I would start chanting. So when I was chanting, my mind would go to those fights, and like, this guy should have done this kick, and that's why he lost, and he got in the second round, you know. So what I did at night, you know, stimulated those energies, and my mind was trying to think, Rajaguna, very Rajaguna thinking. But you could be thinking something in terms of Sattvaguna and being distracted by some better thoughts, you know. So it's our emotional set point, they call it in psychology, emotional set point. So you may be comfortable with certain types of distractions, okay? You get distracted by 1, 2, 3, 4 things, okay? And some people get distracted by, you may be distracted by A, B, C, D, and someone else is distracted by C, D, E, you know? So we all have different emotional set points and where we are with our distractions when we chant. So the thing is, it may be helpful, it's used in psychology, it's bringing those emotional, elevating that emotional set point, like you create an environment where in the evening, the day before you chant, you do something spiritual, like reading Srimad Bhagavatam instead of watching the latest news, or in my case, it was the mixed martial arts fight. And this way, it's easier for you to get better rest, and then in the morning, it's easier to chant. But at the same time, you can write out on a piece of paper what kind of thoughts am I distracted by when I chant. A, B, thought A, thought B, thought C, D. So you write out those thoughts so you're more focused and more aware of your distractions. And then when you chant again the next day, you are more fully aware of the distractions. So when they come, it's easier for you to get rid of them, you know, so without, you know, them coming back so aggressively, you know. Sometimes they just come back right away. And sometimes they come back after a few minutes, you know. So if you're more aware of your distractions, you write them out on a piece of paper, you will be able to control them out of your mind, out of your thoughts when you chant. So in this way, you'll be able to change your, or upgrade your emotional set point, you know, where you are with your feelings and thoughts during chanting. So that's a pretty neat strategy. Probably some psychologists use it to help them. Maybe they don't see the whole thing, you know, the chanting and being spiritual, but it's a very good method. It might be useful. Other than that, just honestly trying to bring the mind back, Krishna will provide us with intelligence how to get rid of those instructions and overcome them and go beyond them. He will give us intelligence anyway, whether we know some tricks, psychological methods or not, how to control the mind, he will still give us the intelligence. But you know, I think it's a good method to control the thoughts. And then once you control the thoughts, it's easy to control the tongue. And there's always prasadam. Eat halava, eat prasadam. It affects the tongue. It affects the heart, you know. Thank you. I hope it helps.
Yeah, that's very valuable advice. I particularly appreciate it because we definitely all are struggling between our, you know, material sense gratification life and spiritual life. And, you know, maybe we waste our time on YouTube or TV sometimes. But at minimum, I really appreciate your advice. When you go to bed at night, you know, do some, at least at minimum, do some devotional activities, because when you wake up, that's going to be what pervades your thoughts. And unless you take that step, which I appreciate it, we may give advice like you said. I'm trying to come to the mode of goodness when I wake up, but at the same time, you have to take the action of doing mode of goodness, filling your thoughts with your conscience with mode of goodness activities. And when you made that statement, I'm just sharing one last quote that reminded me of. It says, "Don't ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet."
I like it. Wow, right to the point.
Exactly.
Right to the point. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Any other questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.